Hello and welcome back to Back in My Play. My name is Kevin Larrabee, and along for the ride this time, I have Greg Stewart, who's been on a ton of these episodes now. And I was like, Greg, hey, you want to record something? So he's on.
Yeah, I feel like I've been on the ride every episode. Even when I'm not on the show, I feel like I'm along for the ride.
Well, you are someone that appreciates the older video games out there, and not just through Generation 16, but also when there's any opportunity to bring it up on something like the Player One podcast, you make sure to make use of that opportunity, which I appreciate.
Amen, brother.
So this is going to be a very not like the usual episode, of the show, because it's late at night and I wanted to record something to kind of get the ball rolling, maybe shake out some of the cobwebs. And even though I've still been doing the FitCast like literally twice a week at this point, I've been doing a ton of those episodes, but still it's different, you know, when you're going to be talking about a whole different topic. And I thought, since Greg, you got one a couple months ago and now I have two, both for the Sega Genesis and for the NES, the crazy awesome device, which is the EverDrive.
Mm-hmm.
And you have one, you just have a Mega EverDrive right now, right?
Yeah. The Genesis is the only system that I got like cables for and all that fun stuff. So that's the only one I spent money on an EverDrive.
Well, this is going to be the main topic for this episode, but I just want to take a second because first, I want to say thank you to everyone out there that has been tweeting me, like the emails that I got, the comments that I got on the website, just from people saying how much they missed the show and how important it was to them. That does mean a lot. And I read every single one of them. I replied to a lot of them. And just thank you everyone out there that took the time to do that. And now I will say, like, this is going to be one of those things that's a labor of love going forward, because I am traveling so much. I'm doing lots of other stuff with work right now. And the FitCast, the main podcast that I do, I guess, is kind of paying the bills. So I make sure I get those episodes done because of the support that I get through Patreon. So one of the things that you could do if you want to help me make these episodes, that's to go to patreon.com/backinmyplay. And we've had some people step up and start being supporters on there. And you're only going to support episodes that ever get produced. So you'll never, it's not like a regular payment. It's not like it's $5 a month and you get charged even if there's no episodes. You only support the show if new episodes come out. So that's a huge help. And you can also do it for Generation 16 and the Player One podcast, really supporting the producers of content that you enjoy to help make sure that that content can keep being produced and at a high quality. Patreon's great. So I also want to attribute a little bit of this to Georgia Dow, because I had her on the FitCast actually this week, and we got to talking about how I was getting really bummed out, and she's a psychotherapist, and we were getting to talk about how I was really bummed out about games and, you know, the negativity surrounding the industry and stuff like that. And I was just like, I haven't been in the mood to really play anything. And like, even to the point where I felt like I was almost like a bad person, because, you know, some people were talking about how Hotline Miami 2 is, like, I was enjoying that game, not because of the violence, and mostly because of the gameplay is somewhat interesting. It's the music is fantastic, and I like the first one. I felt like I was kind of, people were saying I was a bad person for liking that game. Like, man, I can't even like this game because it means I like to murder people, I guess. I don't know. And I don't know. So that's another story. But what it came down to is, we got to talking, her and I just, like, we both love doing podcasts. Like, the FitCast is on its, it's going to celebrate its 9th anniversary the day after we're recording this right now. So,
damn.
Yeah, it's super old, right? You guys have been doing Player One for like 10 years, though, right?
I don't know. We're around the same age.
Yeah. Because I remember, I mean, like I said, I was listening to you guys in college while I was doing the FitCast. But that's, I mean, she kind of helped talk me through it a little bit. And I spent some time thinking about it, and I had to get some other stuff done. Like, I really needed to get some organization stuff done for work and for life stuff. And once I got that stuff settled, you know, there's a little pocket that opens up to do back of my play, which like, I remember I literally went back and I've listened to like 10 episodes in the last 2 weeks while in the car and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh man, those shows are good. Like they're not I remember that Kevin, that he was having a blast and I can hear it in his voice. And hopefully can recapture some of that. Went to New York and went to the Nintendo World store or New York store, which is cool. That might have helped. I don't know. But the plan is to do these shows maybe twice a month. I'm not setting I'm setting a goal of twice a month, and I'm literally writing down goals to try to make sure I can get this stuff done. And I want to make sure that you, the audience, get some regularity when it comes to this stuff. I don't want it to be just once every, you know, whenever I can do it. But at the same time, I was just in New York last weekend for work. I'm going to Tokyo on Tuesday, a week from recording this. So I'm going to be doing more traveling. Makes it harder to record. And then when I get back from Tokyo, I'm going to be all jet lagged. So I'm not going to really want to do much that week in terms of recording. But I mean, that's just where we are. So again, I appreciate everyone who's supporting the show, whether it be through patreon.com/backofmyplay. And I believe there's even like a PayPal tab on the website for backofmyplay.com. So that's not really how you have to support the show. You don't even have to. You know, if some people just want to, and I appreciate it if, you know, people want to do that. And also submitting reviews on iTunes and sending tweets mean a lot. So that's my intro. That's the stuff that I needed to get out of the way real quick before we can talk about our main topic, which is going to be the EverDrive. So we'll take a break because what's back in my play without really good video game music? We're going to come back. Greg and I are going to talk about what the EverDrive is all about and really why you're going to want to check it out. And also, hopefully we'll have time for a second segment where we can talk about really cool news from Sega. Believe it or not, video game news from Sega.
I'm telling you. I know. Ever since they left the game industry, they've been releasing lots of great video game news.
I know. It's been great. Hopefully they just continue to not touch Atlas. And then also some upcoming news about future guests and future episodes. So stick around. Be right back. Let's talk about the EverDrive, which is a device that I learned about. I think I probably mostly learned about it through you, Greg. I've seen some YouTube videos in the past, but basically it is the hardware that is inside of a standard cart for like a Sega Genesis or for an NES. It gets more complicated when you go to the Super Nintendo N64, but for the most part, it's that hardware with a built-in controller to allow you to install an SD card with ROMs on it that it can then load into memory so you can boot it up just like a regular game on the original hardware. And it even allows you to do cool things like save states and cheat codes, things like that. So it is a rather cool device. And Greg, what have you had yours for like 6 months now?
Something like that. Yeah, I had it. I know I had it right before the Extra Life Marathon last year, and that was in November. So yeah, 6 or 7 months now.
And these are definitely in a gray territory when it comes to legality and what you should be doing with them and what you can be doing with them. They're made by a company called KRIKZZ. And you can go to KRIKZZ.com and you can actually buy it directly through them now. It takes about 20 days to get to the States or to North America. They're coming from the Ukraine, so they're going standard airmail. It takes a while to get there, but they make hardware for the NES and the Famicom. Obviously, different pinouts for those. The Game Boy, Game Gear, the Super Nintendo, Super Famicom. There's different versions of that cart. One that is a little bit more advanced to allow you to use things like Super FX chips. And same thing for the Genesis. There's one that has a little bit more complicated hardware for some of the more advanced games that use special chips down the line. There's also a Turbo Graphic 16 PC Engine version and a Nintendo 64 version, which also comes in multiple varieties because of the complex architecture of some of the later Nintendo 64 games. And like, if you, I was kind of really surprised because I got like the NES version and like the MMC 5 stuff works fine. MMC 3 games also work fine. There's just, you know, a few select games that use specific special chips like Castlevania 3 from Japan for the Famicom that obviously will not work because it used a specific dedicated audio chip in it that you're not going to be able to get from that hardware. But you've had it for a while, Greg. What have you been using it for and what have you thought? Because you've had it for a while now and it goes for the Mega Everdrive, which is the more expensive Genesis cart, goes for about $180 plus maybe $5 for shipping.
Yeah, I mean, it's not cheap, but I mean, for what you're getting, like, I've been using it mostly to play just straight cartridge ROMs, but, you know, to test things out, mostly for my show, really, to test things out for the for Generation 16. I don't necessarily capture off standard hardware just because I find that the video quality is not quite as good doing it that way. So I do use emulators for that. But one of the things that I kind of like to use to test is Genesis emulation. The sound on some games is notoriously screwy. So I kind of use that to check it out. And then in general, just I like to give those games a shot using real hardware, using the actual controller and all that stuff and playing it on my TV. Just, you know, so when I describe the experience of playing the game, I like to describe it as based on actually sitting down and playing it on real hardware. The other nice thing about the Mega Everdrive is that it actually has Master System and 32X compatibility.
That's correct, yeah.
So, and actually Sega CD BIOS, you can run a Sega CD BIOS off of it as well, as far as I know, which I think lets you play games from other regions.
Oh, yeah, that would make
sense.
But
I'm not 100% on that. Yeah. So, and I mean, lets you play also your Sega CD without having to take the cartridge out. I don't know if it doubles as a RAM card, like a memory card for it or not. But yeah, you can run Master System games off of it. And if you plug it into a 32X, it'll run 32X games. So it's fantastic. The other nice thing I think that I don't think that you mentioned there is, of course, you know, there's a lot of fan translations. And of course, you need to apply those to ROMs if you don't just have the ROM that has the translation. And you can do that using a Mega Drive. You can play fan translated games on the Mega Drive.
Yeah, there's I mean, the Mega Drive was not super successful out in Japan, but there were a select few games that never made it over to English speaking regions. And even if they did, like some of the games, like, again, I haven't been playing a lot of games lately, but I've found myself really intrigued by Mega Man The Wily Wars on the Sega Genesis. I guess it came out in Europe and it came out in Japan. Or no, it was Europe only, I believe.
Right? Well, no, it was Japanese and it was Europe only. And it came here, but only on the Sega channel.
Oh, that's right.
So you could play a North American NTSC version, but it was only on the Sega channel.
Okay, so it was never available in stores. So that's something that I'm looking at. Okay, there's no way for me to buy this today on a virtual console. There's no way for me to legally buy it. I can't, you know, play. I'm not going to get like a PAL version of this game. If I want to play it, I kind of need something like a Mega Everdrive to play it. And it is a really interesting game because it's a compilation and almost like a Super Mario All-Stars of Mega Man 1, 2, and 3 with save states. Like you have three save slots for each of the three games. So
and there's also something called, I think I forget what it's called, but you unlock it when you complete all three games. It's like a tower, which I think is just like a boss rush.
Oh, cool.
But that's content you can't get anywhere else.
Wow. So if you haven't checked this game out, go on YouTube, just because you're getting to hear some of the best Nintendo Entertainment System music translated into the Sega Genesis sound hardware FM synth Mega Man 2 music. I wouldn't even say it's better or worse. It's just different. And it's really cool to listen to. And I played all the way through Mega Man 2 and got to the first Wily stage. And then I played through most of 3, which is kind of like lately been my favorite of the two, which are, you know, is still, I guess, highly contested. But it is just a really fascinating game to think that they would make what is essentially, like I said, Super Mario All-Stars for Mega Man 1 through 3, and then not think that it was worth releasing in the States.
Yeah.
Was there ever any coverage at all for this game in the States? Do you know if it ever showed up in like EGM or GamePro or whatever?
I'm sure it showed up in those magazines. I want to say Game Fan did major coverage on it because they were big Genesis supporters. But yeah, I don't know if it was ever planned to come out here or not. I think it's funny because I distinctly remember when Capcom finally announced they were making games for the Genesis, the big image that everybody used was Sonic and Mega Man shaking hands. But we never actually got a Mega Man game in North America from them. I mean, by the time this came out, I mean, when Sega Channel launched, you know, the Genesis was on the downswing. So it might have been planned and then they just decided to kill it. Mm-hmm. So who knows?
So it did have that battery backup save, and something that people were mentioning on Twitter when I said I was trying it out is that they said like it didn't feel right and it just like ran bad. And I don't know if it's because I'm playing it at 60 frames instead of 50, which the PAL version would be at, or I guess, you know, 60 hertz instead of 50. Maybe it runs a little bit better on the US hardware. I don't know.
That's exactly what it is. Oh, the way you just said, because I actually, this was the only Genesis game I imported back in the day.
Oh, no,
so such a Mega Man freak. And, I had to get, I forget what they're called. It's a super key or something it's called.
Yeah. Yeah.
To play it. And I liked it, but it played slow. You could tell. And I've since played it on my, Mega EverDrive, and yeah, there's a difference. It plays faster.
Jeremy Parrish of OneUp.com labeled Mega Man The Wily Wars as, quote, not worth it because certain design issues prevented it from aging as well as the NES versions of the games. I wouldn't disagree with that. I would just say it's kind of cool to check out.
Yeah, I would say that I agree totally with that, to be honest.
It looks like, oh yeah, and it, again, it's not available on the Virtual Console. Oh, that's cool. The Christian Nutt also did a piece on it for GameSpot. Saying that is a quote, a must for any serious Mega Man fan. So it's just really interesting to check out. And again, it's a gray area because there's no way that we can buy this in North America today legally. And it's the same thing with something like Bare Knuckle 3 that we mentioned on the show before. There's a superior version of that for the Japanese Mega Drive. And even with all the times that Streets of Rage 3 has been re-released, there really hasn't been a way to play through that Japanese version, at least to my knowledge. I don't think they did anything like in Sonic's Ultimate Genesis Collection to unlock a like Bare Knuckle 3.
Don't believe so.
But I'll talk to Mike Micah about that next week. maybe, I don't know, maybe he knows.
Maybe it's hidden in there.
He's got some stories, man. I think that was definitely something where, you know, they try to put a ton of stuff in a Sonic's Ultimate Genesis Collection. If you look at that game, like still for $20, make sure you have a copy of that for your Xbox 360 or your PS3, because they put so much stuff into that game in terms of games and then extra content with producers and stuff like that. Also, there's a lot of like unreleased games that are now leaking out. Like it seems like every 6 months there's like a new, whether it be Super Nintendo game, like even like TurboGrafx stuff, Dreamcast stuff, and of course Mega Drive, Sega Genesis, NES games that are now finding the light of day because there's now a market for these prototypes.
Yep.
And now there's these communities like No, Frank Cifaldi had he was on a really awesome episode of Retronauts talking about preservation of games and how they're trying to get these games, like they're trying to pool money together, get these prototypes, dump them, and then share them with people to make sure that we can preserve this stuff. And that is another thing that this hardware is really good for. If you just are curious about seeing beta versions of games that, or versions of games that never came out, or games that just were never released, it is all you need is the ROM file and it will boot up, because this is original hardware. You're just going to have to deal with all the bugs that still exist in those games.
Yeah, and I mean, the other thing too, if you're into this sort of thing, is the homebrew stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some groups that have actually started just selling their homebrew games on cartridge, and you know, if that's the case, then obviously I would say support them that way. But there are a lot of guys and girls as well that do homebrew stuff that just release it to the public, and you know, that's great if you can play a ROM on an emulator, but again, you take that and you load it up on an EverDrive, and you get to play it on the hardware. It's a totally different experience, right? It's the experience.
Yeah, there's just look up game reproductions for the Sega Genesis. I mean, that's how I got Bare Knuckle 3, and whether it be something like Pulse Man, which is another game that it's now, even if you want to get it, like the Japanese version is incredibly expensive.
Yeah.
If you want to go down that route. So a very interesting game, a really cool game with some great music in it that we cannot play on anything that is reasonably priced and easy to pick up. And like I said, just go to any repro website. There's even, I guess it was a Snow Brothers for the Sega Genesis that we never got here in the States, which is almost an arcade perfect version of that game. Oh, this is a game that was just never released. It was just never saw the light of day. This is the description from Lost Classics VGS, which is our game repro site. Snow Brothers started out life as an arcade game, which borrowed heavily from Bobble Bobble. While the NES received an excellent port, an even better near arcade perfect port was developed for the Sega Genesis and shelved before release. It's an excellent game, and we're lucky that this 100% complete port has seen the light of day. So all they're doing is taking that ROM and they're putting it, burning it to a chip, and then putting it in a cart. So this is the same thing that you can get out of something like the Mega EverDrive, and that was a game developed by Tengen, which is Atari, which is who knows who the hell Atari is today. do you have any other, like, before, I definitely want to talk about the NES version too, because, or even just for both of them, the front end, I guess I should say, is just super basic. You boot up that cart, and after you dump your ROMs on there, you just have kind of folders with all your ROMs in there. You can set it up alphabetically or whatever you want to do. It's really easy to page through that stuff. But I absolutely hate emulators, and I hate having a huge list of games. So both of my, like my Mega EverDrive and my NES, they both have like 12 games on them, just because I have the games that I have on those carts. And then I have a couple, like, I'm not doing this to, like, have, I don't want 400 or 1,000 NES games on that thing, because I'll never play any of them. I'll just be, oh, well, I played 5 minutes of this, I'm going to go play something else. I'm really using it as more of, like, this is how we could preserve our games down the road, because those carts are going to break down. They're going to get way too expensive. And to make sure that we can enjoy this stuff, once companies stop saying, hey, I want to put them out on Virtual Console, just look at the output from Nintendo for Virtual Console and the other companies, how they've supported Virtual Console on the Wii U and on the 3DS, it doesn't look like they really care that much. So to really enjoy this stuff and preserve it for the future, I think like hardware like this is super important.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I do want to throw out there, and I don't know if the NES version is like this, but I know the Mega EverDrive is, the file system is a little bit wonky in that you can only have a certain number of ROMs in a file. I think it's like 60 something. So then you have to split it up. So that's one of the kind of weird issues you have to deal with. But yeah, it is a very basic interface. And you know, you also hit ROMs that just won't work. Like I know on the Mega Everdrive, it only uses it will only play bin files, not SMS files, and things like that. But in general, yeah, I mean, and I've, like I said, I've just used it kind of as a companion to Generation 16. And also, you know, I've been doing Generation 16 Live, trying to do it every Wednesday, although I've been a little bit lax in that. And I've been using it for that just because it's easier than digging out my old cartridges. You know, I don't have every single game on the Genesis, obviously, but the ones that I do have, I actually just use the EverDrive when I can, because I don't have to dig out my old cartridges and clean them and all that fun stuff. Mm-hmm. It's easy to just, you know, and having a save state is a nice feature as well. So, yeah, I mean, it is a gray area, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that. But in general, I think it's a great purchase.
Well, I think you're doing it, especially with something like Generation 16, it's for historical, you know, reasons. Like, you're actually producing content that is celebrating this stuff. It's not like you're sitting there and earning thousands of dollars with a Let's Play channel. I don't think it's gonna happen. But for you, I know I talked to you about this in the past, like, that is a labor of love. Like, you don't make money off that. The amount of time that you put into that, you're making like $5 an hour.
I don't even know if I'm making that, but yeah. I mean, you know, although I will say, even outside of that, like, if you're just somebody who has the hardware, I don't have a problem with people buying these. I mean, I like the fact that it seems like in a lot of ways the community polices itself a little bit. Like, I was talking about homebrew stuff, and I think of stuff like Pure Solar and Super Fighter Team stuff. And I don't know if those ROMs are possible to find. I know they're not that easy to find. Mm-hmm. And I like that because, you know, these are places that have actually worked hard on releasing something either new or at least translated, an older translated game. And, you know, I totally support that. But I really have no qualms about being able to check out games where the only possible way to buy it right now is to pay a used reseller. You know, not that all people who resell games are evil or anything like that, but I don't want to pay collector prices to try something for 20 minutes. You know,
makes sense. I mean, preaching to the choir, man. I think while it's a gray area, I think it's worth checking out this hardware, just let alone if you're someone that has like 150 carts, like NES carts, not having to make sure that they're clean, just having them all in your system, not having to worry about the 72 pin adapter wearing down from you putting carts in and out of that thing all day.
Yeah.
It makes sense. And like I said, like, it's one thing if you're going to be an a-hole and then put 700 games on that thing and then not support this stuff. If you want to play Mighty Final Fight, it's $5 on the virtual console and it's worth 100 times that. No, it's worth 10 times that. So go and give Capcom the $5, support virtual console with great games like that. And hopefully down the road we get more games, because that's like $110 NES cart. When you can get it for $5 on the virtual console, it's great. Wild Guns on the Wii U is $8, where that game goes for like $250 on the Super Nintendo. So it's just that is the stuff that we need to make sure that we are constantly and still supporting, because although it is lacking sometimes, when these games do come up on the virtual console, give them your $5, give them your $8. And like, even Wild Guns, I think I played it for like 5 minutes, but I still bought it just because I want them to make sure that they're still doing stuff like that. That is what the virtual console is for. It's for games that are now going in the, you know, almost $100, $200, $300 range. Get those up on the virtual console so other people can enjoy them. And then, you know, people like you, Greg, you can enjoy this stuff with your kids. Like, you can show your kids, like, this is what I played when I was a kid, and I don't have to, you know, I can still send you to college. Like, I don't have to say, like, no, you're going to high school and then deal with it because I didn't put all my money into carts. Yeah. It's important stuff. So I would recommend it. I even ordered the Super Nintendo version, the cheaper Super Nintendo version, actually, the one that does not support the like special chips that are going to get me to play Yoshi's Island, because I can throw in my card of Yoshi's Island if I really want to play it, and all my other Super FX games like Doom and what else is over there? I have the Mega Man X 1, 2, and 3 and all that stuff, so don't need to worry about that. Just looking forward to playing some translated RPGs like Seiken Densetsu 3, your Secret of Mana 2s. Like that is a game that has a really good fan translation, which still don't think Square Enix is going to, you know,
probably not
put that out on the store. Probably not. That's
the same thing. Sorry, just to throw something else out there too. It's worth noting that these, as far as I know, they still do not work on something like a Retron 5. So it's you know,
good.
It's kind of cool in that way too.
Good. Believe it or not, still not a fan of the Retron 5.
It's growing on me. We're gonna have to have a talk about that sometime.
Maybe. Also, there's so many great games like Live a Life, especially the Super Nintendo had so many great games that never made it over to the States, like Terranigma, which I'm lucky enough to have a physical copy of.
Oh, wow.
Ease 5. I bought a repro of it, though. It's not like just a repro, which is kind of the same deal that you're going to be getting. Mega Man and Bass, which is supposedly a really bad game.
Bass. Oh, Mega Man and Bass.
Oh, I thought it was like the sea bass.
He's not a fish.
I thought it was sea bass. All right, whatever.
Although, I don't know, if you take Mega Man 8 as canon, then he is bass, but...
Oh. Final Fantasy V, there's a good translation of that, which I have the... I sold my Game Boy Advance with Final Fantasy V card, but I guess you can always play the PS1 version, which I own, but it runs like absolute garbage.
Yeah.
Burning Heroes... Clock Tower series, Dragon Quest 1 and 2, those upgraded like All-Star versions, and also Dragon Quest 5. There's just so many great RPGs and strategy games that were never translated and brought over to the States because Japan was just crapping those gems out. Like they were just crapping out diamonds left and right when it came to those games. So I'm looking forward to getting the Super Nintendo. I think it's just the Super EverDrive. It's not the SD2NES, which is the much more expensive version. And I'll see how that goes. And then I'll probably down the line, once I can save up some money, is get a Game Boy one, just because there's actually a surprising amount of really cool Game Boy prototypes that never got released. So I'm looking forward to checking that out too. So, yeah, Greg, do you have a couple minutes? You want to do one more segment?
Sure.
All right, cool. Well, we're going to take a break. Here's some more video game music. Man, it's like riding a bike back in the saddle. Let's listen to some music. We'll be right back. This is the bonus segment that has nothing to do with what we already talked about, but since this is just like a relaxed, just chilling up, we're just chilling out, just talking about some games.
Hanging. Just a couple of dudes.
Yeah, just, you know, renting a game, we're going to play some Super Contra and see if we can get past level 2. So the big news today as we're recording is that Sega has announced that they are doing a second phase of 3D classics for the Nintendo 3DS. And this is coming off of them just finishing up their last series, which we were kind of worried if we were even going to get them in the States. And I guess they sold well enough because they just announced not only Sonic the Hedgehog 2, not only Streets of Rage 2, but it seems like the thing that people are really freaking out about, and that's Gunstar Heroes coming out in 3D.
And well, they should, because Gunstar Heroes is a freaking amazing game.
I still have a cart that Sean gave me. I'm going to be playing it at some point.
Killing me. But listen, when you're on your way back from Japan, just stop in Halifax. Come on over.
Yeah,
replace some Gunstar Heroes the right way.
The flight. Yep.
Yeah. That's pantsless.
Yep. I'm already in a terrible seating position on the way back on the flight. So I'm just going to try to pass out and hope I get home. So, I mean, what do you think? The first two are pretty obvious.
Oh my God.
Options, but Gunstar Heroes.
All three of them are actually. I know that you don't feel the same way necessarily about Gunstar Heroes, but really, they're all three of them are like three of the top Genesis games ever released. Like, Streets of Rage 2, to me, is the greatest brawler ever made, period.
Yeah.
There's just nothing better. The treatment that M2 gives these games. I mean, we've talked about this so many times, even on Player One and on your show. M2 just does an amazing job with their ports, and not only with the amount of options you get and all that, but like even the 3D itself, they do a fantastic job on. Like even Streets of Rage, which I don't think has aged very well. The first Streets of Rage, it looked good when you played it in 3D. So I can't wait to see what they do with Streets of Rage 2.
I like Streets of Rage 2's gameplay, but I have both the soundtracks on my my computer. Like I bought them through iTunes, and I end up listening to Streets of Rage 1 a lot more. I don't know why.
That's fair. I mean, I think that probably if you take them both outside of the game, it's pretty hard to say which one is the better soundtrack. I prefer Streets of Rage 2 soundtrack. While I'm playing, because it's just, I find the music really fits the gameplay just about perfectly.
Totally.
And it's, you know, like, especially Expander.
Yeah.
But I love the music from Streets of Rage 1 as well. It's a little more chill.
That's probably why, because I listen to these, like, when I'm doing work at the computer.
Yeah.
And it's either, like, now it's still, I still mix that in. I still mix in ActRaiser. And there's even, he did a version of ActRaiser on the, on a different sound chip.
I forget
what it was. I can look it up because I'm in front of my computer, but, here we go. It's right here. So Yuzo, let me pull it up. So he did ActRaiser 2 on the Soundboard 2.
Okay.
Which, let me see, hopefully. Oh, I can't. It's not located. I deleted the music off my laptop and I uploaded it to my Google Drive. That's why. So, anyways, I'll play it in this episode and you can hear what. Oh, there we go. Somehow it's playing. Maybe it redownloaded from iTunes. I don't know if you guys can hear that.
I can hear it a little bit.
So it almost sounds like the ActRaiser soundtrack on a Genesis.
It's interesting.
And it's sold. Like, this is part of the Yuzo Koshiro Best Selection. That's sold on iTunes. You can get it for like $5.
I might have to check that out because I loved ActRaiser music.
I bought all 8 volumes of his stuff on iTunes because it's like, all right, yeah, I want to have Super Shinobi or Revenge of Shinobi soundtrack. Yeah, I want ActRaiser soundtrack. Yes, I want Streets of Rage.
The first Streets of Rage, that's actually, now that you say that, it reminds me of Revenge of Shinobi. It's kind of got same sort of, like totally chill vibe.
Yeah,
whereas Streets of Rage 2, he was definitely getting more like really techno and just more frenetic.
Oh, just like, man, I know it's so funny that it's like the future where it's just downloading this stuff. Just download it right from iTunes. It's really great, but you don't want to hear it going through my microphone.
Just to get back to those re-releases, like Sonic 2, same thing. I actually prefer the first game to the second game, but the second game is like the best-selling Genesis game of all time. Mm-hmm. So it was a huge game. And again, the M2 port of the first game did something really cool where most of the games on 3DS, the 3D is into the screen. So like the top plane is right at screen level.
Yeah.
But Sonic from M2 actually has an option to do pop out 3D. So it actually looks like all the layers are sitting on top of your screen. It's a really neat effect that you don't see very often. And I mean, obviously it's just a great port again. So, I'll probably buy all three of those. No question.
I'm still bummed that we never got a physical release, and we're never going to, but it would be really smart for them to do a sale on everything that has been released up until this point for like $3 if they could do like a 50% off sale for all the Sega 3D classics to get the news out there that the new ones are coming, because I believe I have right now, I have Outrun, obviously, I have Streets of Rage, and I think I have Sonic. Those are the three that I have on my 3DS, but I have a physical cart for the Japanese version. They could either make the thing region free, or hopefully they put that stuff on sale so I can grab the other games too. Like there's a Shinobi's on 3. There. Yep, and there's a couple other
Fantasy Zone, Echo the Dolphin.
Oh yeah, forget about Echo. But Afterburner? Fantasy Zone's good. Afterburner 2 was part of the last series. That's actually I don't believe it's on the cart though.
And Galaxy Force, wasn't that one of the ones they did as well?
It's not on the cart. It might have been. There might have been one that they did, but I'm not sure. This is called not preparing.
Hang on. Is one of the other ones, because that's one of the ones I own.
That makes sense. So yeah, obviously, really great news coming from Sega. At the same time, there is great news because I've been doing some more goal setting, even with like game stuff. Just not strict, but just writing stuff down so I can make sure I'm playing the games that I want to play. Like, I still need to finish Persona 4 Golden. I'm like 22 hours into that. That's going to be one of the big things that I finish on my trip. And then in the mail the other day, Xenoblade Chronicles 3D shows up, and that's like a 14,000 hour game that I'm going to have to play, and still haven't finished Majora's Mask. Like, I don't know where people find time to play games.
I'm really struggling. I said this on our most recent episode of Player One. I kind of want to get Xenoblade on the 3DS, but I bought it on the Wii and I've never played it.
Sell the Wii version.
Yeah, I know, because I know it's worth a lot.
It's worth like $100.
Yeah, I might do. I don't know, because I know there's definitely more of a chance that I will play through it on the 3DS than sitting in front of my TV, especially now that I'm a couple of or at least one, you know, we're one generation removed now from that. So.
It's I've played maybe 30 minutes of it. I played the first like 2 hours of it on the Wii, and I played maybe the first 30 minutes after actually skipping cutscenes. So like actually playing for the first 30 minutes, and it seems good. It actually runs. It's pretty smooth on the 3DS. It's just really scaled down. I mean, it's blocky as hell. It's almost like an N64 game, but not that bad. Maybe a little bit in between that and a GameCube, almost like a. Like a Dreamcast game, kind of.
Okay.
Which isn't a bad thing. It's still got great music, and it's. I'm looking forward to actually getting into it. But number one, I thought about it long and hard. Number one game that I got to finish that's on like current gen hardware is Persona 4 Golden. I need to get through that game. There's a really good interview on the Kind of Funny Games Cast this past like 2 days ago. They just did like a random interview with the actress that plays Chie, and I'm like, oh yeah, I totally have to go play that game, and I gotta actually finish it. Erin Fitzgerald, and she's hilarious. She does a lot of voices for games, and even got me thinking, like, maybe should I check out the Hyper Dimension Neptunia series?
I have no idea,
because like those are all in the Vita, and they get incredible, like really good reviews. And all the Vita games are getting really cheap because no one's buying them.
Because no one's buying them, yeah.
So I'm looking at this game where it's like gross Japanese girls on the cover, but everything, like everyone's giving them 5 stars, and I don't know if I just should trust that, or if it's just everyone's like, this is the game that I want because it's these 30 people that wanted this game.
You remember the last time you did that, right?
In terms of like when A4 Play ripped me to shreds for 15 minutes?
No, I mean, what the heck was the name of that game?
Akibis. Oh, okay. Oh, no.
Not Akibis Trip.
It was Shinobi something.
Yeah, like aren't they like female ninjas, but they have to get naked to be powerful or something along those lines? Or yeah, I don't know.
It's Shinra Kagura Shinobi versus.
That's the one.
Geez, yeah, I totally bought that. I pre-ordered the special edition, the Let's Get Physical limited edition. I
can't believe you did that.
Because that was in my time where I pre-ordered. I had every single Vita game pre-ordered on Amazon.com that was available for pre-order because I was crazy. But now I just I pre-ordered a Vita game today, the new Danganronpa game that's coming out in September. Yeah, it's really good. I have to finish two as well. That's another, those two games I'm hoping to play a lot on the flight along with some more Hotline Miami 2 because I still like the music of that game. I still think it's overly violent, but I don't really, it doesn't make me want to go kill other people. So,
well, congratulations on that. You've sidestepped that landmine. Well, so to speak.
This is totally off topic, but there's a podcast called Invisibilia, which is a public radio podcast, and it's like NPR type stuff, and they did a whole episode based on our thoughts, and there was a guy who saw City of God, which I haven't seen, but it's, I guess, a super violent movie, and the guy, after seeing it, like, all he wanted to do is, like, he always had thoughts about stabbing his wife in the neck and, like, killing his dog and all this stuff, and how he actually had to get through that and, like, the right kind of therapy that he needed, which is interesting. Side, you know, if you want another podcast to listen to, Invisibilia is another great NPR podcast. Go figure. So we'll wrap it up real quick because it's getting late and I got to get some sleep, but not that I give a shit about you, Greg, but...
No, that's cool.
Man, I usually don't swear, but that's all right. Klonoa is a game that I started playing. It was available for like a dollar on one of those PSN. Sony kicks ass on these sales.
Oh my god, they're like doing exactly what we were all praying for. It's like they're gonna go like really digital. It's like, okay, well, if they do, like, they got to look at like Steam to you know, they've got to play with their prices a little bit, and they're totally doing it, and I'm so happy.
Well, I've been playing Klonoa for the very first time because it was a dollar, and it is really good.
Yeah, it's a good game.
Like it's good where it's a PS1 game, and it's still, I'm really enjoying it. It's really smooth. The music is fun and really good. And it was that same day that I also bought Breath of Fire 4 for some reason, Fighting Force, Mega Man X 4 and 5.
Wow.
They were like 97 cents.
Have you played Breath of Fire 4?
No, but it was 97 cents, so of course I'm going to buy it. I already have Suikoden 1 and 2 that I haven't played.
Oh, man.
I still have Strider 2, which I barely touched. Like, I'm looking at my Vita right now. There's all these games that I bought just because they're cheap. Wild Arms 1 and 2.
I love the first Wild Arms.
Oh, see, well, if it was like a case of like, yeah, it's like 40 hours though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be, I got to do Persona 4. I got that loaded up right now on my Vita, ready for me to turn it on.
And I'm saying I love the first Wild Arms, but if you're going to make time for another RPG that you haven't played yet, you should play Suikoden. Make time for that. If you're going to make time for another RPG that's like an older one, make time for Suikoden, and then you'll want to make time for Suikoden too.
I played maybe the first 3 hours. Like, I went out into the mountains to go rescue some dude or do some mission for someone, and music was outstanding. I really enjoyed the music, and the combat was fun and fast. So it's on my list, man.
They really need to, I don't know if they've done this yet, but they really need to release Vandal Hearts as well. There was some really cool, I loved early PlayStation 1 RPGs. There was just something about them. I think because they were kind of just an extension of what we were playing on the Super Nintendo at that point anyway, but with like really good music to go along with it.
And better graphics.
Yeah, so it was like, you know, slightly higher resolution, really good music generally, and just you were seeing stuff that you weren't seeing from everyone all the time, right? So I just have such fond memories, and those two, Suikoden and Vandal Hearts and Wild Arms, like all three of them are just like, ah, love those games. Yeah, love them.
Vandal Hearts is not up there yet, but
I wish it was.
Yeah, well, it's a Konami game and they don't like to release games anymore, so we'll see. I mean, I think it took the guys at Sony forever to get them to do Suikoden 2.
It's too bad.
I'm not saying I heard stories, but I heard it was, you know, it took mountains to get that game.
I'm not saying I heard stories, but I heard stories, man.
That's all right. So that's that's on my to-do list. And also in the news, it's really cool that Shovel Knight is getting a retail release on the 3DS, the Xbox One, and the PS4.
That's awesome. Such a great game.
A little pricey at $30. I was hoping. I'd wait for a $20 sale.
Yeah. But it is worth it at that price, too, I think.
I already bought it. If
you've already
Vita.
Played it and bought it, then that's different. But if you're somebody who's never actually bought it, like there's no reason not to spend $30 on that game or $40, whatever it is. $30 on that game.
I think it got the first perfect review. No, that did not get the first perfect review. I don't know how to find categories in my stupid website. Gunvolt. Oh man, that game's so good. You play Gunvolt?
I have not.
Oh my god, it's so good. It beats the crap out of like every other game on the 3DS.
Really?
Yeah, it is a Mega Man game that's really, really good that has nothing to do with Mega Man and
everything to do with Gunvolt.
I totally want to replay that game now. It has really great upgrade system, and it's just the graphics are awesome, the music's awesome, and it does help. The guys at A4 did some of the, I don't know if they did the translation or they did some help with the promotion.
Yeah, they had something to do with it.
Yeah. All right, so we should wrap this thing up because I'm getting rambly. I want to mention, like I said, Klonoa is going to be coming down the line. That's a game that I definitely want to play, and I'll be bringing my Vita on my Tokyo trip as well as my 3DS, which I will be playing, who knows, maybe some more Xenoblade or I don't know, man. I might just like replay New Super Mario 3D Land for like the third time.
Nice.
Or Link Between Worlds for the second time. I got to finish that second playthrough. But we're going to be doing a new episode very, very soon.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially, I guess we're going to be doing it this weekend or this week. And that is going to be Outrun, the Sega Ages version for the Sega Saturn. But we're also going to be tying in the Nintendo 3DS release because that is basically very much like the 60 frames per second offering that you can get from the Sega Ages version on the Sega Saturn, which is just incredible. It's just it's arcade perfect and better.
It's better, yeah. And I can't wait.
Also, I'll wrap up this episode with some music from that game because they did some awesome rearranged versions of the tracks for the Sega Ages collection. Which is part of the 11-disc Outrun set.
Which you own.
I don't anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had to trim things down. I'm going in a different phase of my life, so. I bought a Mario Tanuki Mario from the Nintendo New York store, though. So that's
a different phase of your life.
Different phase, and I don't know. There's still... I'm almost thinking about getting a PlayStation 4. I don't know what
yet.
I'm thinking about trading in my PS3 because they're doing $200 for the trade-in.
That's
towards a PS4. It's nuts.
Yeah.
It's like, what do I never use my PS3 unless for it's Netflix.
Well, they have that on PS4.
I know. I mean, I'm getting attached to it because I have like 72 PlayStation Plus games, like retail games on that thing. There's a terabyte hard drive in my PS3, just full of games. All right, well, that's going to wrap it up here. And just to reiterate before, thank you so much for supporting the podcast when it's been on a regular basis and when I had to take a little bit of a break, take a little vacation from the show to make sure that every time the show gets produced, it is at a high quality with enthusiasm. And it is... what video games are all about, which is fun because I'll say it before and I'll say it again. Nothing I hate more in the world than people who just constantly talk about stuff that they hate and try to be snarky and funny about it. It just bugs the crap out of me. It's why I've stopped listening to podcasts. It's why I've unfollowed people. And it's why I've stopped going to people's websites because I feel like, there's so much... Like the internet is like fueled by negativity these days, almost to the point where people think they need to write for it or they need to have a persona based off that. And I think I said it in the thing where I said I need to take a break. People on like Gaff, and I think it was even on the Player One thread, were saying Kevin's just like Dan Reichert. He's like, he likes, you know, stupid things. I'm like, yeah, but I'm super, I love him. You know, I
You got to revel in liking stupid things.
I love Fast and Furious movies. I saw Furious 7 and it was incredible. And I also, you know, just rewatched the whole West Wing series. Like,
me too.
Oh, like, it's so good.
Beginning of this year. I'd never seen it, actually. I watched it for the first time.
Oh, man. How good is that?
That was great. I'm kind of sad that I missed it when it first came out.
God, we got to get Martin Sheen to run for real president. I totally vote for that, dude. So, I mean, that, you know, basically, hopefully you hear where I'm coming from. There's going to be more episodes coming, hopefully two a month I'm going to shoot for. There's also obvious games that are on the docket, like Super Metroid. I know people keep asking for RPGs, but I just don't think that's super realistic at this point. And I want to make sure that I can play through these games before I talk about them, because otherwise it's just not the same show. And that's something people like about this, is that we have fresh impressions on this stuff, and I want to make sure we continue to deliver with that. And I'd like to do some shoot 'em ups, whether it be Blazing Lasers.
Oh, I love Blazing Lasers.
Oh, man, Blazing Lasers. Let's go. or maybe something like Thunder Force 3, which we always talk about.
You can go learn about that on Generation 16.
What episode was that on?
Just saying, oh my god, episode 3 or 4. Is it pretty early? No, not 3 or 4.
No, because you did Thunder Force 2.
Yeah, but it was still a fairly early. I think it was like early 1990 that came out.
It was 1990.
Yeah. So, which I'm just getting into the last month of in the series right now. So, just finishing up November in the upcoming episode.
Then you have Lightning Force to look forward to.
Yep. It is lightening my load.
It is. That's always a fun thing to say. And I don't know. I think, like, looking at my wall right now, I still think Donkey Kong Country 1 through 3, those deserve some love. Those are good games. And I mean,
I totally reminisce about Donkey Kong Country with you. I've never played the second or third one.
Oh, yeah.
I own them. Me neither. I've never played them.
Me neither. Yeah. I played through one last year, and I absolutely loved it.
It's a great game. I know people kind of go, it's not Mario. And it's not Mario. Whatever.
That's not supposed to be. It's a different game.
And I loved it when it came out.
Also, there's it's not happening on this Tokyo trip, but Zelda 2 has to happen at some point. And I don't know, I'm looking, I still have a stack of Famicom games. I own all the Mega Man games. So those need to be done. And I still have a fat stack of Sega Saturn games that we can talk about. It's just tough because I feel like a lot of those are fighting games. I don't want to do Clockwork Knight 1 and 2 back to back. These games are not very good. Even Sonic Racers, I sold that. Sonic R.
Yeah,
that's right. I ripped the soundtrack off at first.
Okay, well then you got the best of it.
Yeah, so that's where we're at, and of course I'm going to be making use of, you know, the real hardware going forward, and that's the great thing about holding onto these carts that I haven't done episodes on. We have Toe Jam and Earl, we have Gunstar Heroes, Batman for the Genesis.
Great game.
Yeah, really, really. I have important not even game. Put. I have to get a Game Genie because Sean that sent that in and sent in Gunstar Heroes, he sent me the Mega Drive version. He must have had like a bunch of Mega. I think he had a bunch of Mega Drive stuff because he was he lives in Hawaii.
Yeah,
so he must have just got a bunch of that stuff.
Well, he's like a big collector in general. Yeah.
Well, he got rid of a bunch of stuff. So yeah. that's where I got it. He sent me some of the Strays. There's still really good stuff to talk about, and even it might be worth talking about something like Super Mario All-Stars. It's a cool game to bring up. Super Mario Kart and Ocarina of Time. Like, there's still lots of games to talk about. It's just making sure that I can host and play these games first before we do talk about them. So, like I said, thank you again. You know, make sure you're subscribing to that feed on iTunes, because that will make sure you automatically get this stuff. It really will mean a lot, and it will help me get a little kick in the butt if we do have some people that are supporting the show on Patreon. And it's like saying, you know, it's basically you voting with your dollar and saying that I want to see more episodes of this stuff. And if we get enough support, I promise that I'll do some Patreon specific stuff to make sure you guys get some bonus content out of it as well. And of course, make sure that you're checking out, if you want up to date stuff on new games, check out the Player One podcast, because you guys still have not missed a week.
Even you missed a week.
Oh, like 2 weeks ago?
Ages ago.
Oh, but I mean like recently. You guys
no, not recently. Yeah, and it looks like Mike is back more regularly. So
good.
Yeah. So the band's back together. Yeah, we're still trundling along.
I didn't get to listen to this week's show yet. Did the URL buying thing happen before?
You guys recorded? Yeah, there's discussion about that in there.
Oh yes, all right, that's fun. All right, video games can be fun sometimes, even when you're yelling about them or angry about them. So I'll need to. I'm gonna have to. Actually, you know what I'd probably do is save all that stuff for my trip, my flight. I gotta start banking that stuff. Okay. So that is it. I'm rambling. It always happens when I'm tired. But check out Player One Podcast, generation-16.com.
Thank you.
For Generation 16. And again, that's some painstaking content that Greg's putting together. So make sure you're jumping on that Patreon as well if you want to make sure he can keep producing what is really like historical documents, like video documents of those, you know, great games. And there's never enough love for Sega Genesis stuff on the internet when it comes to video games. And is that patreon.com/generation16?
Yes, it is. And I just broke ground on episode 16 tonight. Awesome. As far as the video edit goes, so all the VO is recorded, all the game footage is recorded. Now I just got to put it all together.
And you can go to, I want to say it's patreon.com/P1 podcast. Yes, it is.
You got it.
And you guys are doing your game club now. You've been playing Bully.
Yeah, I'm not sure when we're doing it. I keep bugging CJ to actually set a date. I think we were aiming for the end of April, so it'll be in the next couple weeks. So if you ever played Bully, or you didn't play Bully, it was a great game, PlayStation 2, and it came out in the early years of the Xbox 360, early months of the Xbox 360.
Yeah, it was buggy as hell, man. I rented that GameFly, and it just ran like crap.
That's the one I've been playing. But you know, if you're interested in that, come listen to the episode, and hey, play along too, and come to our forums and talk about it on our forum, because we will incorporate that stuff as well.
Totally. Yeah, make sure you check all that stuff out. And then finally, I got an email from Mike Micah today. He wants to talk about some games. So that's also.
What does he know about games?
I think he finally has a. Like, things have calmed down from the iDarb craziness. He can finally take a breath because that guy has been just going nonstop. He hasn't slept in months. I always see him on Twitter, like, retweeting iDarb stuff. Oh, this is good news. Amazon Japan just shipped my Zelda Black faceplates, which doesn't really matter because I never use that. Oh, I got to get rid of that thing. I never use it.
Well, now you can sell it with your Zelda Black faceplates, so it's worth more.
Well, those are going for like $80, so I'm just going to sell the faceplates, I think.
Thank God.
Maybe, yeah, the Nintendo doesn't make enough of anything. Go figure.
Yeah, I know. I'm as shocked as anyone.
The only thing that they made enough of was that Codename Steam game, which they sounds like they fixed. All right.
Yes, I heard that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's all good stuff. Again, thank you, everyone. This is like the fifth time I've ended the show. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to check the show out on iTunes. You can submit reviews on there. Share the podcast with your friends. Patreon.com/backofmyplay. I am at Kevin Larrabee on Twitter at Back of My Play for the podcast. Stay up to date on new stuff and maybe future guest question requests. And then at SEWART for Greg.
That's me.
Yeah, that's him. And he is talking about video games and
fatherhood.
Fatherhood. What else are you talking about?
That's usually it. Well, I'll be talking about hockey in the coming couple months because of the playoffs, but yeah.
Hockey, eh?
Nice.
Yeah.
That was nice. You don't need to care because Boston didn't make it.
The Celtics are in the playoffs.
What sport do they play?
Handball.
Oh, okay.
Hand rim ball.